Good morning, everybody. Okay, I'm thinking about what the shiur should be for this morning. Well, I thought that since tomorrow is going to be ready Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and when we think of Shvat, we think of Tu B'Shvat. We think of Tu B'Shvat, we think of fruit and brachas on fruit. So I thought that would be an appropriate topic for this morning. You know, the halachas of brachas are, complex halachas. They're very often not known what halachas are, even though they're very common things that we do on a daily basis. So in honor of Tu B'Shvat coming up and Rosh Chodesh Shvat, I thought we would discuss some of these halachas. So let us begin with the first page here on letter A. Mentions Netilas Yadayim Bedover Shetibulo Bemashke. Now, we know that the halacha, we have halachas of Netilas Yadayim. We know when we wake up in the morning, that's one type of Netilas Yadayim that we have, because we assume that there's some, Reach Ra, some type of Ruach Ra, some type of impurity that hovers over when the person is asleep, and now he's getting up, he washes his hands, or she washes her hands, and then also preparation for davening. And then we know that there is the Netilas Yadayim that we make when we are eating bread. And those are the most common halachas of Netilas Yadayim that we're generally accustomed to. However, there's another halacha that it's sort of a forgotten halacha, and that is the halacha of Dover Shetibulo B'Mashke, which means that if you, and it's not only something that is regarding fruit. Okay? So let us first discuss what are the Zayim Mashkim. There are seven official liquids that are recognized in halacha. The Zayim Mashkim, and the acronym to remember them, if you look at the first line here, number one, and by the end of that line, Yad Shochat Dam. Okay, so what does that stand for? Yad is, the Yud is Yayin, right? And then Dvash, so what, wine is Yayin, Dvash is honey, Shemen, oil, Chalav, milk, Tal, dew, Dam, blood, and Mayim, water. And in fact, I've seen I saw it in the Torah Journal of the Or Yerushalayim Torah Journal, this idea that the Zayin Mashkim really are parallel to each Yom Tov. All the Yom Tovim that we have, there's one liquid that signifies that particular yontif. Let's see if we can figure this out. So, the first one is yayin. Shabbos, Pesach, Purim, right? Purim, okay. And then dvash, Rosh Hashanah, Shemen, is Chanukah, Cholov, is Shavuos, Tau, Pesach, right, we mentioned Tau. Dam, blood. What? Yom Kippur, right? Well, all the blood was spritzed on the, right? Right? And Mayim is Sukkos. We, right? So those are the ways to associate these Zayim Mashkim with seven different holidays. Some are biblical holidays, some are rabbinical holidays. And now, what is the halacha? The halacha is when you dip something in one of these liquids and you eat that food. Again, the food doesn't have to be fruit. Usually it's fruit, but it doesn't have to be fruit. And you eat it, you're supposed to wash Netilas Yadayim before you eat the food. So that would mean, like, a lot of times people serve grapes. And a lot of times when they serve the grapes, so they wash the grapes from before. So, and they don't necessarily dry off each grape, right? So the technical halacha is that one is supposed to wash the Netilas Yadayim, meaning one's supposed to take a kli, a vessel like we do for bread, and do twice on each hand, just like we do for bread. And that is called what? That is called Dover Shetibulo Bimashka. That, in other words, when you have something that you, it doesn't have to be dipped per se, but it's washed off and the liquid is still there. In other words, if you would take an apple, say for example, rinse off the apple and then take a paper towel or something and dry it, then you wouldn't have to wash Netilas Yadayim. But if you don't dry it, then the proper thing is to wash Netilas Yadayim. We don't make a bracha because it's a question whether Bizman Hazeh, in our times, that we don't really are involved in Tumah V'Tahara, in things of purity. In other words, we're not eating Truma, we're not eating Karbanos, we're not going to the Beis HaMikdash, right? So it's a different thing whether this halacha still applies. That's why there is an opinion that says that today this whole halacha doesn't apply. So that's the limud zchus on many people who don't keep this halacha, right? So we don't say that a person doesn't keep this thing, he's an avarian. Like, if a person doesn't wash Netilas Yadayim for bread, so that's an avarian. They're transgressing the halacha. Here, it's a halacha that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. But we'll see, the Magen Avraham says that we're melamed zchus on people who don't do it, because there is an opinion that says that we don't do it bizman hazeh, that we don't have, you know, the Tumah V'Tahara issues of the that they had when there was a Beis HaMikdash. But when is the minhag that everyone does it? The Pesach, right? Kadesh Urchatz. The Urchatz is that, but really, it's not just the thing for what? For the night of the Pesach Seder. It's really something the whole year long. It's just the Pesach Seder, that became part of the system, right? But, so that's what it says here in Shulchan. Ochel dover shetibulo be'echad mehet me'yishiva mashkin. In other words, one of the seven mashkin, shesimonam yad shachadam, dehainu yayin, dvash, shemen, cholov, tal, dam, mayim. Velonis nagev, and it wasn't dried off. Vafil ein yodav nogos v'mokom hamashke, even if you're not, say, the apple is partially dried off, and you're touching the dry part, not the wet part, but still, it's something that is washed off, and it's still wet, you have to wash. Tzarech netila. You have to wash below bracha. V'afilu einu metabel rak rosh hayerek o hapri, afilu hochi hito below bracha. Even if you're, again, you're taking some vegetable and you're just putting the top part of the vegetable in the water, and the bottom part where you're touching is not, it doesn't make a difference. And then if you look at number two in the Mishnah Brura, he says, below bracha ki yesh miktsas harishonim the savri shlo hutzricho chacham nitil az yadayim shetibulu b'mashke. There are some chachamim that say we don't require it in our time, elabi mayhem. Only in the time of the Talmud, shehayu ochlim b'tara, that they were eating everything with tara, meaning that they went and they didn't have any machpid to eat everything with purity, meaning the use of the mikvah was not only a husband-wife thing, but it was something that was all, anytime you wanted all your house to be pure. Today we don't have the para aduma anymore, so if a person went to one funeral, so he's tamei the rest of his life, and we have no way of getting rid of that tumah. So we don't care, because the only tumah that is a kohen is make sure he doesn't go in contact or in the same room or in the same area with a dead body. But in Bizman Chazal, it wasn't only the Kohanim. The regular people also wanted to make sure that everything was tar, because then the next day they would be going to the Beis HaMikdash, or they would be eating something that required this level of purity. It doesn't exist today. So some opinions say, therefore this whole halacha of washing your hands for Dover Shetibulu B'mashke doesn't apply. But, so therefore, the kach lo yivarach alatid las yadayim. So therefore you shouldn't make a bracha, because there's opinion that says this whole thing doesn't apply. We don't make a bracha on it, so sofik brachas lahakel. But still, we do it. The proper thing is to do it. V'nei b'mogad Avram hevi b'shem halechem chamudos ta'olam nogim shalolito. Many people are knowing not to wash hands. V'yesh lahem al macha yismochu. In other words, they have what to rely on if they don't do it. Because most of the people don't do it. Most people, so you can't say, but if the proper thing, it's not, in other words, if you see someone doing it, don't think that he's a fanatic, or he or she is a fanatic, because that is the real halacha. Ta'inu al mixas rishono now, avo harbe achronim hechmirim ma'od bedover, v'kosuvu da'ikav kurov ha'poskim tzorach netila medina, v'af bizman hazeh. That the real halacha is that you do need netila even bizman hazeh. Shekein da'itu kein, v'hechmir ma'od. Some even say you should make a bracha on this, but that far we don't do. It's not proper to eat with something that was dipped in a liquid and without netilas yadayim. Tzarech l'zeh kol dinei netila k'mo l'pas. Because you need all the halachas of Netilas Yadayim, you need as well. So let me ask you a question. What would you say about French fries and ketchup? Okay. Question number one. And what would you say about cold cereal and milk? So, at first glance, based on what I said, well, you should have to wash. Now, no one does that. Now, why is that? Is that because they're following the lenient opinion? No. These two things do not require... Why not? So let's take the French fries in... The French fries and ketchup. What? Ketchup is not one of the seven liquids. Why? Because... It's meperos. In other words, fruit juice is not one of the, like orange juice, apple juice, tomato. It is like tomato juice. Whatever. So that's not one of the seven liquids. So mamela. So that's for sure. But cereal and milk, blue. That's one of the That's one of the seven limits. But it has nothing to do with dipping. In other words, dipping is a way of expression. It's not that you have to dip. You have to dip your Cheerio in other words, by the fact that it's swimming in the milk, that's like dipping. That's more than dipping. Oh, so as Rav Abadi pointed out, you look here in the Mishnah Berurah number 4, it says, V'achrodim his biru demine tafshul and came into ein derech liga bo b'yad el lechol b'kaf ein etzorech netilas yadayim. But he said that when it comes to this halacha, things that you normally don't take in your hand, in other words, when you eat cold cereal and milk, you don't do it with your hand. So since it's not done with your hand, so therefore it's not required. By bread, on the other hand, even if you're not touching the bread, you have to wash netilas yadayim.
But
yeah, I mean, cleanliness is part of the idea of netilas yadayim for regular netilas yadayim, but it has to be more than that, because if it would just be cleanliness, then if I eat any food at any time, really, it should really require, if that would be the sole reason. So it has to do more with purity, you know, of the laws of Tumah Vatara.
There may not have been anything other than that.
You mean they didn't exist? Well, I don't know about that, because the Talmud does discuss, soup, vegetable soup, and other, you know, if it's made purely from the vegetables, not with water, I'm talking about, they do talk about other types of liquids. So I think those liquids did exist, yet it's limited. In other words, these seven liquids. It's not because those are the only ones that existed. More existed, but these seven have that special status. So it's interesting, when it comes to bread, even if you're not touching the bread, you have to wash. Is it the irony of Hilchos Netilas Yadayim is if somebody is feeding you, listen to this, somebody's feeding you, right? So they're touching the bread, and they're feeding you. So what's the halacha? The person who's eating has to wash netilas yadayim, but not the person who's feeding. Right. But that's the halacha by bread. So bread is different. But in this, as Rav Abadi pointed out, in this halacha of davar shetibula b'mashke, it is referring to the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's something that you normally don't eat with your hands, like the case of the cold cereal and the milk, then you wouldn't have to wash the netilas yadayim. So therefore, that's why the minhag, even people who are makpid to make sure to wash the netilas yadayim and these things, there's no halacha. In fact, you know, if you look at number 3, hanotel yodav leperos hareze migase ruach. In other words, if you wash your hands for fruit, that's considered haughtiness. So why is it haughty? Because it's talking about a case where you're not obligated to wash, like you have dry fruit or something like that. So then you shouldn't do it. In other words, you shouldn't. Sometimes it's proper to be machmir, but sometimes it doesn't make sense to be machmir. There's no, it's just ignorance. So he's trying to show how religious he is, that he's watching for fruit, but this is dry fruit. Dry fruit, there's no such halacha, and therefore not only he doesn't do it, but he shouldn't do it. So you're dipping what? You're dipping a vegetable in a dip. So if it's milk. Yeah, so that's milk. Okay. So that's the first part of this discussion. Netilas yadayim bedavar shetibulu b'mashke. Again, it comes up most by fruits, but it's not something only by fruits. You take a cookie and you dip in your coffee or something like that. So that would be a problem.
What is the actual source for the Netilas Yadayim?
The Netilas Yadayim is a rabbinic enactment. Yeah, it's a pasuk v'isem kedoshim. You know, there's a whole masechta called Masechas Yadayim. Just like there's a masechta Shabbos and a masechta Brachas and the Masechta Kedushin. There's a Masechta called Masechta Yadayim. And it, all the halachas of Netilas Yadayim come from Masechta Yadayim. Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, apple and honey, usually you can have it already in the meal. No, in other words, once you washed already, yeah. But now you're going to lead us into the next discussion. And the next discussion is eating fruit in the middle of a meal. In the Dvarim HaBoyim B'toch HaSuda. So, what is the halacha of... Because normally we know, when we make a Netilas Yadayim on bread, so that basically absolves us from what? From making bracha and anything else. A more lesser known halacha is that when you drink wine, say you drink wine, then just like bread exempts food items from a bracha, in other words, if you're eating bread, you made hamotzi, now when you have the chicken, you're not going to make a shahakal. So too, when you have wine, and then you want to drink soda later, you don't make a shahakal on the soda, because just like bread exempts all other foods, wine exempts all liquids. Now, it's more complicated than you think, because when you have wine, say you have a kid, you're making kiddush and they give out some wine, and you have some wine, that might not be sufficient. You might have to have a significant amount of wine. The question is, the person who makes the kiddush, then at the kiddush, he made the kiddush, he had the cup of wine, and now he's going to have soda during the kiddush. So will he what? Will he have to make a shahakol or not? So again, that's a big question, because some say that drinking wine is only if you have, you know, a nice, you koveya on wine. Not just a cup of wine, but like some people get together and they have wine tasting, you know, the wine is the main point. But it's a question. So that's why the best thing at a kiddush is what? To serve herring or tuna fish or egg salad, because then you can make a shahakol. According to everybody, because it doesn't exempt shahakol, it exempts liquids. So if you made the borei pri hagafen on the wine, you don't have to make what on other liquids, but on fish and egg salad that you do. So since it's a question of how much wine you had to consume in order for this halacha to be relevant, so that's why it's always good to have some herring or egg salad or this, and this way you know that even if you had from the wine, you'd still make the shahakol, and then you could have in mind the shahakol, the soda and other things that you might be drinking. But okay, so in the meal, so what is the halacha? What is it? Does the mamish take care of everything? So the Shulchan Aruch discusses that only certain types on the second line, your basar v'dagim b'beitzim yirakos u'gvina, meaning, and as Rav Badi points out, Rav Badner points out in the Sefer, that the halacha is that it only applies, in other words, that you don't have to make a bracha for food in the middle of the meal, for meal-type foods. What do we mean meal-type foods? Like chicken is a meal-type food, and potatoes and tomatoes, and these are meal-type. Meal-type food means that you eat it, presumably to fill yourself up. As opposed to snack-type foods, that's called kinuach, so you don't usually necessarily eat it to fill yourself up. You eat it for the sweet taste of the food. Say, for example, so you can have, say, fruit in the middle of the meal, and you enjoy the, and you're not eating it with bread, eating it alone. So the halacha is, as pointed out here in B1, that one would require to make a borei pri ha'etz in the middle of the meal, or even middle of the meal or dessert. But when he's eating the chicken and the salad and all these things, these are what? Meal type foods. So meal type foods are included in what? In the hamotzi. The snack type foods, so say for example, you're going to have ice cream for dessert or something like that, then it's proper to make a shahakol on the ice cream. The one thing we don't make a bracha in the middle of the meal is on liquids, right? When you drink in the middle of the meal, you don't make a shahakol on the drink. The only liquid that you make a shahakol on, and a bracha on rather, is what? Is wine. If you're having wine in the middle of the meal, then you make a bori priagofen, provided that you didn't have wine from before, if it was a Shabbos meal or something like that, where you already made kiddush and had wine from. If you didn't have the wine from the kiddush, so then you have to make a bori priagofen on the wine. Right, in other words, you have a chiv to make a bari priagofen in the middle of the meal. But if you had wine, they made kiddush, they made a bari priagofen, you drank, so you're covered. But the person who's making kiddush has to have an amount. But yeah, the people who are listening, it's not a chiv, but it's a considered meritorious for everyone to drink a little bit of wine, and the wine doesn't have to come. This is another important halacha. Rav Shechter pointed out, Rav Abadi points out, that it doesn't have to come from the person's cup who's making kiddush. In other words, you can. What do we do? We pour out. Before I make kiddush, everyone gets a little cup on their plate, and they'll drink from that. And as those Rav Shechter, Rav Abadi point out, any wine that's on the table is considered like the kosher bracha, and therefore you could drink from there. So that's what we give everyone, a cup. This way, I don't have to start pouring after, But the wine in front of you, on Motzai Yantif, the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to stand for 4 hours giving out kosher bracha. So what was kosher bracha? It was from his havdalah. But how big was his cup? it was a regular cup, and he was giving out for 4 hours to people, because that was all considered part of the wine that was in front of him. So it was a refill and back and forth, and people were standing there for hours and hours till they got their little shot glass of wine. So when you have snack food in the middle of the meal, so then you have to make a bracha. So you have fruit, or melon, things like that. Then that's called snack type food. These things you'll eat even if you're not hungry per se. You just like the sweetness and or ice cream or things like that. Rav Abadi points out that on ices, sorbet, you wouldn't, because maybe that's considered like a liquid, because even though it's frozen, but that perhaps would be considered like the exemption of liquids that don't require a bracha in the middle of a meal. Yes? Cake. So cake is very complex. We could spend really the whole hour or more just on this, on the cake story. But the general rule, as Rav Shechter pointed out, Rav Abadi pointed out, the Shalom points out, is the following. That if you're eating the cake because you're still hungry, there wasn't enough food in the meal, or you didn't like the food that they had in the meal, and you still want to fill yourself up, then you don't make a bracha on the cake. But if you're basically full, but it's a geshmaka piece of cake, you like the cake, it's the sweetness of the cake, then you would make a mezonos on the cake. So that's the simple. No, we assume that it's going to be geschmack, and if you're disappointed in the end, I guarantee you it won't be a bracha levatol. Yeah. Yeah, so there are opinions that say that, right, So, right. So, there are opinions. You see, the Chafetz Chaim in the next page here, where it starts off with two and then three. Mishnah. I know they have the numbers here. But it says Shar HaTzion, when it says number three on that page, the next page. See what I'm saying? It says, "After the kol mishanogel lechol peiros v'vushalim chol sudul vasov." He says, "Today maybe it's like part of the meal." That's what some want to say. Today it's part of the meal that we have fruit and these things. So the Chafetz Chaim says, still it doesn't change. So some people of the opinion that this oral tradition from the Chafetz Chaim that he said that it does change, but many say that we follow what's written in the book. You know, because Chazon Ish says that if an acclaimed rabbi wrote a book and he said a certain way, and now people are saying no, he really changed his mind, they don't have any credibility to say he changed his mind unless he, the author himself, issued a statement saying that he changed his mind. So here, the Chafetz Chaim, that's what the Chazon Ish says in one place. And here, there's this oral tradition, but nonetheless, many still follow the written idea. And that is, again, the meal-type foods, the chicken, the potatoes, the things that you really will be, are part of the meal, and that's considered the included in hamotzi, and the snack-type foods that you will eat, you know, say during the day, you just sometimes just eat some fruit or ice cream or something like that, that it does not blend into the meal and therefore will require a bracha even if you eat it in the middle of a meal. Okay. Okay. 4a and 4b I already covered. I want to get now to Shechiyonu. On the next page, it says C. V'inyan Birkas Shechiyonu al Peiros. So Shechiyonu is the most very confusing halacha. What is the halacha of Shechiyonu? So Shechiyonu make on a lot of different things. We have a you get something new, you buy a new clothing, and you're happy about the new outfit. So you make a bracha of a Shechiyonu, but if, say you get a new car, so you're also happy. So if you're a person that has you have a family, and it's not only you that are going to use the car, it's what? It's your family is going to use the car, so then it's not the benefit of one person, it's the benefit of multiple people. So then the bracha is what? Hatov v'hametiv. So that's the general rule. That if you get something, you buy something, and you're happy, you know, not just time you buy a box of Cheerios or something like that, so you can also be happy, but you know, it's not the same happiness you buy a new suit, a new outfit, or something like that. You're very, you know Cheerios is good too, but usually they don't make on that. So you make a Shechiyonu. There's even an opinion, and it's a question whether we follow this opinion, if somebody gives it to you, like your husband buys you something, so then it's a question, maybe there should be a Tova Meitiv, because he's happy, because there's more than one person being happy. The giver, you get a Matana, Yerushalmi says, not only there's a happiness of the recipient, but the person who gives them matana also is happy. But one second. So when they built a Gluck building here, and they put up the mezuzah, so they were debating, you know, what should be the bracha that they're going to make. They had one day of dedication of the building. So the question is, what bracha should they make? So they didn't make a bracha l'kbo a mezuzah, because it's really not chayiv in mezuzah, because no one really lives there, as Rav Avadi points out. No one lives in the building. Like Rav Avadi points out, Meikar Adin, Only by a dormitory you really has a real chova, you can make a bracha on a mezuzah in a yeshiva. Okay, the minig is that we put brachas and all mostos, Jewish mostos, we put, you know, you have a catering hall. The people put mezuzahs on the catering hall, even though, technically speaking, as Rabbi pointed out, doesn't need a mezuzah. But who's going to come to your catering hall if you don't have mezuzahs? You have a clinic, a medical clinic, you have mezuzahs. You know, so sometimes people ask, you know, is there heter for me not to put up a mezuzah in my office? And I said, it's not so clear that you even needed the mezuzah, that you're looking for a heter. You understand? Even though some people stay in their offices more than they stay in their homes. But still, it's not considered a makom of, sort of Rabbi pointed out, of living. It's not a dwelling area. So the bracha they made in the Glock building was Hatova Meitiv. I think President Jolan made the bracha Hatova Meitiv, because the assumption is that many people are going to be benefiting from it. So, yeah, so we try not to be in doubt. We just... You run in doubt, you call up the rabbi and you ask him. Okay? So, but you're right. Generally we say, Safek brachas lahakel. That when we're in doubt, we don't make a bracha. But a lot of times... there's a real doubt in halacha, or there's a doubt because the person, you know, doesn't know what the halacha is, and they should find out what the halacha is, and then he won't be in doubt. So, so fruit is very complex, because what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? C1. Haroa pri chadash mischadash mishana l'shana b'varach shechianu. As you have a fruit that was out of season and then comes back in season, that means mischadesh mishana l'shana, and that's why number 3 says pri she'enu mischadesh mishana l'shana afilu im yesh yabim rav mishalo ochol enu mevarach. Because people have this misconception, I'll tell you, somehow whichever school you ever went to, there's certain mistakes that everyone was taught in their, whether it's across the board, they're all taught the same mistakes. And then hopefully you should know what the... One mistake is, people think, oh, this fruit, I didn't eat it for a year, so I should make shachianu. It has nothing to do whether you ate it or you didn't eat it. It has to do with whether the fruit was out of season or not. In other words, whether you ate it or not does not make a difference. That's what it says explicitly in number C3. Pri she'enu mischadish mishon l'shana, afilu yesh yamim barim shelo ochol mimenu. Right? Even though you didn't eat it, but it was not out of season. And the Sama Rebbe said he thinks today that there's import, so you can get usually everything in any time of the year. So then he thinks the whole concept of a bracha on a fruit of shechinu might not apply bizman hazeh. That's number one. And number 2, as Rav Abadi writes in the Sefer, the bracha of Shachianu is because of the simcha. Like, I'll tell you, I remember from my days in elementary school, Tu B'Shvat, they gave us this charuvim, these boxer, you know, you can break your teeth. I guarantee you there was no simcha involved. There was no simcha involved whatsoever. So it could be, I don't know whether in season, I don't know whether it was out season, I have no idea. But all I know is there was no simcha whatsoever. So there should not be a bracha on Shechianu. And even, you know, when we get these fruits for Rosh Hashanah, so I'm not telling you not to get the fruits for Rosh Hashanah, but because that's the practice, so, you know, get the fruits for Rosh Hashanah, have a happy, healthy new year. But technically, you probably can't make a shechianu on these fruits. Because, first of all, who says they were out of season? And second of all, there's no simcha. So the answer is that really, me'ikar halacha, you could make a bracha on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, even if you didn't have fruit. Because it's the second day of Yontif. Just like any other second day of Yontif. Except, since there's an opinion that Rosh Hashanah is considered a Yom HaRichta, one long day, so then we try to follow, to be machmir, to follow the opinion that says that you should try to cover your Shechiyana with something else, because maybe the day of the second day of Rosh Hashanah does not warrant its own bracha. But since really Mikra Dina does warrant its own bracha, so then you should go ahead and make the bracha. But you don't have to make it a new fruit. If you get a new outfit, a new, you know, that's probably much more simcha than this some fruit that you're going to find in the store. But if you get a new outfit, a new something like that for Rosh Hashanah, so then that's something that you're very happy about, and that could cover. It doesn't say you have to get necessarily a new fruit. Something that really warrants a bracha of Shechiyanu. Oh, now let's talk a little bit on the next page, another page number 4, Ikir v'Tofel. Now let me tell you like this. We said before that snack type foods. Require a bracha even in the meal. But there is a discussion, what if the snack type food was made to whet your appetite? Like the assumption was, and you could agree or disagree what the reality is today, like a fruit cup. So originally the concept of a fruit cup that you had as the entree was to whet your appetite for the rest of the meal. So if that would be the case, so then many say that they would know that would be considered part of the meal, because you're not just eating it for the sweetness, you're eating it to get yourself an appetite to eat the chicken and the meat and all these other things. So then you wouldn't, if that would be the case, then you wouldn't, if you say that it's not really whetting your appetite, it's just, so then it might be different. But okay, but the question is like this. We have a halacha of ikar v'tofel, which means that when you have two things that you're eating at the same time, say you're eating a cracker and you're eating peanut butter. So the cracker is a mazonos, and the peanut butter is, say, adama, or maybe shahakol, depending upon how it's made. So the halacha is you don't make two brachas, you make one bracha on the mazonos, because the thing that you're smearing on the cracker is considered tofel, is considered subordinate to the mazonos, and therefore you make the bracha on the ikar and you poter the tofel. Now, there is another halacha that's not as well known, and that is if you have multiple things together. Say you're having rice, okay, and peas. I particularly don't like the peas, but rice. But you have rice and peas. And then with every spoonful of rice, there's going to be some of the rice and some of the peas. You're not going to eat the peas separately. Rice and the peas. Or you can call that raisin bran, if you want. You can have raisins and the bran. So the halacha is, according to many, that if you're eating the two things together, they're considered one thing, one tafshil, and you make only one bracha. You make one bracha on the ikar. And we normally assume that the ikar is whatever is the majority of the food. So if you're eating rice and peas, so most of it is rice, so then you don't make a bar pri adam on the pea. You make just a bari mezonos on the rice, and that exempts you from the bracha on the pea. And it's not proper to take the pea out, and because you really don't want to eat separately. So if it's being eaten together, that means every spoonful you're having both. So then you should only make one bracha on the rov. Now, a couple exceptions. Mizonos, if it's there for taste and it's significant, even if it's not the rov, mizonos is considered the chashuv. So that's why if you're having a cholent, right? You're having cholent. Well, normally most people are having cholent in the middle of the meal. So then the cholent is all meal food. So no bracha. But if you say today people like to have cholent on different times, but not in the meal. And if you have, say, barley that's in the... And there's a significant amount of barley, not necessarily the rove of the meat and everything else, then you would, as Rav Ladi pointed out, you just make one bracha, a mezonos, if there's going to be barley in every scooping that you're taking out. You don't make... if you have a big potato and you're going to eat that potato alone, then you make a bar pri adama. But if you're... Yeah, so the mezonos will win. The mezonos wins. That's why if you have an ice cream sandwich. You have an ice cream sandwich. So it's a machlokus about that. But the pashut shot is, you have an ice cream sandwich, you only make one bracha, as Rav Sefer Madani, as some posts can point out, on the what? On the mezonos. Apple pie, also. Most of it is apple. So if the crust is very thin, so then even though it's mezonos, it will lose out, and you won't make on the mezonos. But if it's significant, it's a nice thick crust, and something like that, and you're eating the apple pie with that thick crust, and it's not just a little coating, but it's something that's you know, somewhat thick, which sometimes, you know, my wife and I discuss at the table, does this make it or does this not make it? So sometimes the judgment call to see. But usually you can tell when it's just a little thin thing, or it's like, this is, you know, something, like everybody says, that's hashivas. So then you would make a mezonos, and you wouldn't make a bracha on the apple pie. Oh, so what if you're having a fruit cup? What if you're having a fruit cup, and the fruit cup has ha'etz and adama? It has. So according to many poskim, again, you would follow the rov. You would follow the rov, whatever is the majority. Is it more oranges and apples than this, or is it more cantaloupe or so whatever other things that they put in? Provided that you're eating with one scoop, you're eating both types each time, then you follow which is the rov. The contemporary question. And I'm not the one to speak about this question because I am not from this. I'm not from the sushi people, but this generation we're big sushi. And then the question is, what bracha do you make on the sushi? Do you make on the rice? On the so, the question is, what's the rov? What's the chashivas? In other words, even if it's the rov, but if the real reason you're eating it is for the other part, that would be. So I know you have to decide what you think is the more chashiv part. Why you're really eating it? And if you're not sure, then you follow which is the rov and the quantity. It could be. It could be. That's what she asked. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, people eat it for the fish. People eat it. Maybe. I don't know. You have to discuss it with the people who eat sushi. But I have an old palate from before the days of sushi. And then in the bottom of page. I don't know what number of pages these are, but Mishnah Berurah says, what if you have things that are crushed? You mean you have applesauce? You don't have, so some say if it's totally crushed, then you wouldn't make ha'etz anymore. And some say no, that still still hates. So, right. But some say even if you don't see it, there are opinions like that. So, is what to rely on. Same thing by Pringles. Some people make a shakal on Pringles, and some people make an adam on Pringles. But it's interesting that if something is made, technically speaking, this is not the minhag ha'olam. But technically speaking, the Chazon Ish discusses this, and other poskim, a lot of others discuss, if you have something, say you have oranges that are made for orange juice. They're planted for orange juice. They're not the same orange that, but it's a liquid. So some say, like Rav Shechter pointed out, it's anytime it's a beverage, it's automatically a shahakal. And others say, no, since it was made, the orange was made for the juice, so that's the ikar of the orange, is the juice, and you would make a bari priya eitz. So there are people that make a bari priya eitz on oranges, there are people who make a bari priya eitz on chocolate, because so all these things, so the minhag ha'olam in general is not to. But you should know that there are opinions out there that say you make a bari priya eitz on orange juice and a bari priya eitz on chocolate, even though most people will make a shahakal on both of them. But either way, if you're eating the chocolate in the meal, you'll have to make a bracha, whether it's a eitz or shahakal, whatever you choose. The orange juice you wouldn't, because the orange juice is a mashke, as we said before, except for wine, we don't make a bracha in the middle of the meal on liquids except for wine, because wine has a special chashivas to the wine. And the last thing is the last page, koses is achita. So that means that you say you don't, you take a chita and you don't, you eat it basically raw, or not fully processed, like Rabbi pointed out. You didn't make it into a porridge, into a farina, into something like that. So the technical halacha is that a chita alone, which is not, wasn't totally transformed to make it into, as Rabbi pointed out, into a tafshil, you don't make, even though it's wheat, You make what? Adama. So this was a big shaila that came up years ago when we were kids. When Ramosha's tshuva came out, where he paskin, I don't know, they still have this, the sugar smacks. You know those sugar smacks? So as kids, we always, you know, it was basically a piece of wheat. And so we would make a mezonos and an alamechia. But the Rav Moshe says, no, that's koses es achita, because that's not, it's still the form of the wheat. It's not like a porridge, it's not like a farina. So then he thought that could be meikar adin. It's adoma and a bar nefashos. That's why there's a big discussion in the poskim about rice cakes and granola bars. So there's a whole set of opinions that say that you should make adama and all that, because it's not a farina. It's like still the whole piece is there. And some say that since the derech is to eat it that way, So those rabbanim hold that you make a mezonos. So there's yesh al milismoch in either direction. Okay, so as we approach now Tu B'Shvat, so these are some of the halachas regarding fruits and vegetables and the meal, and hopefully it was informative, because these are things that are always coming up. So it'll be interesting table conversations for the, you know, when you have what to say, you bring out this packet and you'll discuss with other members of the family of what brachas you should make. You know, that was the tradition of the shidduch question, was they would put the fruit cup in front of the prospective chassan and see what bracha he would make, and somehow that was supposed to tell whether it was going to be a suitable shidduch or not. maybe there are other ways of telling whether things should be a suitable shidduch or not. But okay, I wish you all well. We should have, you know, you should all have a lot of nachas, you know, like the Gemara says in Tainis, Ilan, Ilan, Bamaya, Varachticha, that all your tzatzarim should be kamocha, that all your children and your grandchildren should be, have the, all the brachas of the previous generations. And that should be the biggest nachas of the tree that produces fruit like the mother and father tree does. And Bezer Shem, you should see nachas from all your children and your grandchildren.